I want you to open your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of Romans, chapter 16. Romans, chapter 16. For the message this morning. And I want to read just one verse of Scripture. If you're familiar with the 16th chapter of Romans, you know that there are many individuals who are mentioned here. The Apostle Paul is wrapping up the letter, and in doing so, he takes the time to greet and to salute people that have been a blessing to him and that have worked with him in the ministry, and all the way through the chapter down, almost the whole chapter, down all the way to verse 24, he simply greets and calls by name many people who encouraged him and helped him do the work of the Lord. And I want to read just the 13th verse to you this morning for the sake of time. And I want you to pay close attention to this short little sentence that Paul sends to a man by the name of Rufus. Look at verse 13. He said, "Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine." And his mother and mine. I want to speak to you this morning, a message I'm going to simply entitle, "The Mother of Rufus." Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your grace and goodness. And Lord, thank you for how you use motherhood to be a blessing to us. Lord, we come before you this morning and ask that you will bless as we talk about that for a little while this morning. Lord, we're so thankful for your blessings upon us when we gather here. And Lord, I pray that today will be no different, that, Lord, you will bless in a mighty way. We're just so thankful for the Word of God and for the principles out of the Word of God that we can glean, things that will help us, things that will give us insight and direction in life. And Lord, as we look at a few principles this morning concerning mothers, I pray that you will bless it to our hearts. And Lord, just give us encouragement this morning. Lord, I want to thank you for the influence that my mother had in my life. And Lord, how I wish that she could be here today. But Lord, all things work together for good. And so, Lord, I pray that you will help us all this morning to get some good out of what we're about to hear. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. This 16th chapter of the book of Romans has something that is very unique in it. It contains 26 names of individual people that were associated with the Apostle Paul. I have many times in the past read this chapter, and when I read it, I would just stop and think about and speculate about these people. You know, I thank the Lord for in 30-some years of pastoring and being in the Lord's work, the Lord has allowed me to have some tremendous men to help me in the ministry. I've developed some great friendships and great relationships. I just thank the Lord for that. And I will read this chapter and it will occur to me, well, wait a minute, these folks were close to the Apostle Paul. And so then you start to think about them and speculate about these people. And when you read these names, you need to understand these were real people. These were real people. These were real saved people. They were friends of the Apostle Paul. They were co-workers of the Apostle Paul. And when you read Paul's epistles, you kind of get the idea sometime that, you know, maybe he was kind of a loner. But that changes when you read this 16th chapter of Romans and you realize that he had a lot of people around him and a lot of people that encouraged him and helped him along the way. And as each one, as each one is named, you know, I've often wondered, well, I wonder what that person was like, or I wonder what this guy's personality was like, or I wonder how this lady's personality was like. And how did they come to know the Apostle Paul? How did they fit in to his ministry? Well, in the 13th verse, we find a character that I want to focus on this morning. we find a fellow by the name of Rufus, and Paul mentions Rufus by name here. He says, "Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord." And then he makes a little statement, says, "And his mother and mine." Now, that's an interesting statement. That's he claims here in this verse that Rufus's mother was also his mother. Now, did he mean that literally? Well, I don't think he did. I think from what we can glean from other passages of Scripture, the Apostle Paul and Rufus were not related. They were not brothers. So what did he mean by that? Well, there is, of course, two possibilities. The first one is that, unbeknownst to any of us, that Paul and Rufus were brothers and that they shared the same mother, of course, being brothers. But I don't think that that is it at all. The second one that I hold to is I think he is sending a greeting to Rufus's mother, who at some time or another in Paul's ministry and in Paul's life kind of played the role of a mother to him. She mothered him. And so he maybe joked with her about the fact that she was like a mother to him. And you know what, I can identify with that. I have in every church that I've ever been associated with, I have had a whole host of ladies who have looked out for me and looked after me like they were my mother. And I thank the Lord for that. I mean, I really do. Are you taking your vitamins? You know, point that finger at me. Every time I come down with a cold, where's your coat? Where's your coat? And, are you eating right? Or you better start taking better care of yourself. And I got that finger wagging, you know, the whole mother thing. And so I can identify with what Paul is saying here. I don't think that he's saying that he and Rufus were brothers and that Rufus's mother was his mother. I don't think that's it at all. I think that she probably mothered the Apostle Paul, and I want to serve notice on you. All of us need a little mothering every now and then. All right, so what kind of mess would this world be in if it were not for mothers looking after things? All right, girls, you ought to say amen right there. I mean, what kind of mess would this world be in if it were not for mothers looking after things? Can you imagine, Mom, if you just left the getting ready to go to church routine up to your husband every morning, I mean, every Sunday morning? Could you imagine the mess that things would be in? I mean, the kids would come out of their bedrooms ready to go to church looking like hobos. And, so that would never work. Thank God for mothers that look after things. Now, let me also say that Mother's Day is not a biblical holiday. It is not something that is biblical. It's not something that you're going to find in the Scripture. And as a result of that, through the years, all these real spiritual people have said, well, I don't think you ought to, you know, Mother's Day is not in the Bible. It's not a spiritual holiday. It's just a lot of sentiment. Well, it may be, dear friend, but it's good sentiment. And there is a lot in the Bible about motherhood, and it's the kind of sentiment that can wipe some of the dust and stain of the world from our eyes and from our souls and from our hearts and get us thinking in the right direction. Now, this morning, I want us to look at mothers and salute mothers. Here in this passage of Scripture, in verse 13, Paul said, "Salute Rufus and his mother and mine." And so I want us to salute the office of mother this morning. There is a sacred relationship that is found in motherhood that is worthy of salutation. It is worthy of being looked at. And I want us to think about it this morning. There are about three areas that I want us to focus on this morning. First of all, when you think of the office of motherhood, when you think of the office of mom, and you think of the worthiness of saluting that office this morning, what first came to my mind was this. I want us to consider a mother and sacrificial love. You know, there is not a greater love than the love so far as a human aspect is concerned, there's not a greater love than the love that a mother has for her family, for her children, and for her husband. A mother and sacrificial love. You know, Paul could have simply said, "Rufus, say hi to your sweet mother for me." He could have just easily have said that. But instead, he captures the sacredness of the office, and he says, "Salute your mother and mine." I found it interesting as I was reading and preparing for the message. In the Lithuanian language, the word for mother is the same word that they use for martyr. For martyr. And in other words, in the Lithuanian mindset, there is not a more sacrificial person in the whole world than mother. I think a beautiful biblical picture of a mother's sacrificial love is found back in the Old Testament. And I want you to turn there. Let me read it for you. It's in 2 Samuel chapter 21. 2 Samuel chapter 21. And I want to read you a few verses here this morning that shows this sacrificial love that that a mother has and possesses for her family. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 21, and let's begin reading, please, in the 8th verse. You follow along in your Bible as I read. 2 Samuel chapter 21, beginning in the 8th verse. Everyone have it? All right, look at the 8th verse. It says, "But the king took the two sons of Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, whom she bare unto Saul, Armoni and Mephibosheth, and the five sons of Michael, the daughter of Saul, whom she brought up for Adriel, the son of Barzillai, the Maholathite. And he delivered them into the hand of the Gibeonites, and they hanged them in the hill before the Lord. And they fell all seven together, and were put to death in the days of harvest, in the first days, in the beginning of the barley harvest." Now look at me. That's April. All right? Everybody nod your head. You understand what I just told you? That's April. Now watch. Watch. Verse 10. "And Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, took sackcloth and spread it for her upon the rock from the beginning of the harvest," that's April, "until water dropped upon them out of the heavens," that's October. 5 months she stayed out in the elements. You say, "Well, why? What was she doing?" Look at the rest of the verse. "And suffered neither the birds of the air to rest on them," her sons, "and suffered neither the birds of the air to rest on them, nor the beast of the field by night. And it was told David what Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, the concubine of Saul, had done. And David went and took the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan, his son, from the men of Jabesh Gilead, which had stolen them from the street of Bethshan, where the Philistines had hanged them, when the Philistines had slain Saul in Gilboa. And he brought up from thence the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan, his son. And they gathered the bones of them that were hanged. And the bones of Saul and Jonathan, his son, buried they in the country of Benjamin in Zelah, in the sepulcher of Kish," that's Saul's father, his father, "and that they performed all that the king commanded. And after that, God was entreated for the land." You say, well Pastor, what's going on here? All right, now listen very carefully, folks. Saul or David could be a very cruel individual. He could be just as mean as a snake sometimes, and that's the David that we see when he turned Saul's children over to be hanged. He gave them up to the enemy, just captured them and gave them to the enemy, and they hanged them. And then David watched, or David's men watched, And these boys' mother, Rizpah, from April until October, spread sackcloth on a great rock that she used for a tent, and she took up the sad and lonely vigil to protect the bodies of her deceased sons. She kept the birds away from their bodies. She kept the animals away at night so that they would not desecrate the dead bodies of her children. And when David got word, now again, he could be cruel at times, but he could also be quite magnanimous. And when he saw the great heart of love that Rizpah had, when he saw her sacrifice and her devotion as a mother to protect the deceased bodies of her children, David was touched to the place where he gave her sons a burial in the tomb of King Saul. You see, only a mother could have done what Rizpah did. And only because of the sacrificial heart, the sacrificial love that was in her heart for her children. So mother spends her life sacrificing and giving simply because of her love. You know, when I was a child, I always wondered why, of course, this is back before the days that you went out to eat every night, but I can remember when, as a child, and sitting down to dinner, and my mother always eating the back of the chicken, always eating the wing of the chicken, and when we asked her, "Oh, I like those the best," she'd say, "But now I know why she did it. She did it because she wanted us to have all the big juicy pieces." I mean, is it any wonder that we take a day and honor this kind of sacrificial love? Is it any wonder that we take a day and honor mothers? They deserve it. They give and give and give, sacrificing themselves for others. And that sacrificial love has turned many a hard-hearted young man or young woman towards God. Just as David was touched by Rizpah's love and devotion and sacrifice, I want you to understand that more sinners have been turned to God by the constraining love and sacrifice of a mother than anything else I know. You know, I can still hear, my mother's voice singing "Sweet Hour of Prayer" as she washed dishes or as she was sweeping the floor or as she was hanging clothes up on the line. I can still hear that in my mind. I can still hear my mother as she prayed. I can hear her voice ringing in my head right now as she prayed for God to save my soul and call me to use me in the ministry. I can still see the tears that she wept over some of the rebellious things that I did as a teenager. Now, at the time, I did not see it. But God uses and God made mothers to use mothers to reach their rebellious children. And God certainly used mine to get a hold of my heart. Looking back at when I got saved, it was not that sermon that spoke to me the loudest. Looking back at the day I got saved, it was not looking down that row of teenagers and seeing those teenagers at the church praying for me to get saved. Looking back on it, it was not the music that stirred my heart and drew me to Christ. No, it was a mother who, no matter how far into sin I went, would not give up and would not quit and was always there and always encouraging and trying to get me to give my heart to Jesus. And to that I say thank God for my mother's sacrificial love. But there's a second thing I call to your attention. When you think of the office of mother, I think of a mother and purity. You know, another reason that we salute mother is that a good mother is a symbol of purity and honor in life. I mean, what person among us has not ceased from doing something foolish when in our mind's eye, mother's face came into view? The thought of a good mother has often kept us from sin. I remember years ago, I got a phone call one night and was told by a neighbor to go to a certain place where one of the teenagers in our church, and this was years ago, not here at this church, but where one of the teenagers was about 17 years of age, and he got in with the wrong crowd and went out drinking with his buddies, and one of our church members saw him and saw the condition that he was in, and they called me and said, "Pastor, do you think you ought to go get him?" And so translation means, "Pastor, go get him." And so I got in a car and I went down to where he and his friends, quote unquote, were hanging out, and went over and picked him up and put him in the car. And the only thing he said to me was, "Pastor, please don't tell Mom. Pastor, please don't tell Mom." He didn't care if I knew about it. He didn't care if the whole world knew about it. He just didn't want his mother to know about it. He could not bear the thought of his godly Christian mother learning that he had fouled up so bad. Listen, folks, mothers and honor, mothers and purity. I think a good biblical portrait of this is found in the Gospel of John. Go back to the Gospel of John chapter 19 for just a moment. John chapter 19, and we'll look at this from the standpoint of our Lord and his mother Mary. Go back, please, to John 19 and look, if you will, beginning in verse 25. Familiar verses of Scripture to you. It says in verse 25, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, 'Woman, behold thy son.' Then saith he to the disciple, 'Behold thy mother.' And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home." You know, we all know the exemplary life that Mary lived. We all know that. And you can rest assured that she was highly honored and highly esteemed by her son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So much so that Jesus mentioned her while he was on the cross. I want you to look at what he did. You know this passage of Scripture. Jesus is hanging on Calvary's cross. And while there, he looks down and sees Mary standing at the foot of the cross beside the Apostle John. And I want you to notice what he did. He separated himself from her. You see, folks, he had to die, and he had to suffer on that cross for us alone. She had been the one to push him into his ministry in John chapter 2. And when he turned the water into wine at the marriage feast at Canaan, that was at her encouragement and at her bidding. But now, here he is on the cross, and he breaks all ties and all associations because he alone had to pay sin's awful price. He alone had to die to pay that penalty. But look at the respect and look at the honor he showed her in verse 27. He committed her to the watch care of the one that he was closest to out of all of his disciples. You see, Joseph is dead. He is long dead. The last time we've heard from Joseph is when Jesus was 12 years old, and they came back to the temple, and Jesus stayed behind when they thought he was with the group, and they went on, and that's the last time we heard of Joseph. From the time Jesus begins his earthly ministry, there is no mention of Joseph, so he probably died somewhere in the interim period. And now Jesus, being the firstborn son, has the responsibility of taking care of his mother. And so he honors Mary by asking John to watch out for her after he's gone. And as you see the face of your mother this morning, if she's already in heaven, hey, listen, thank God for that memory of her, and honor that memory this morning. But if she's still here, can I challenge you to follow Christ's example and honor her as only you know she deserves? I mean, listen, folks, Mom deserves our honor. Amen. And then thirdly, I want you to think with me of a mother and faith in God. You know, when you think of the office, you cannot sidestep that idea. If you have a Christian mother this morning, thank God for that. Thank God for that faith. Thank God for that example. You know, you hear it all the time. Folks say, well, you know, you can't take anything to heaven with you. I want to take issue with that. My friend, you can take your children with you. Now, you can't take that car you got, and you can't take that house you've got, and you can't take those toys you have, but you can take your children with you. You can. I want you to turn over for just a moment to the book of 2 Timothy. Let me show you a neat little thing here. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look, please, if you will, at verse 5. Paul's writing to Timothy, and he says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Faith is something that can be passed along. Did you hear that? Faith is something that can be passed along. Now, dear friend, listen, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that you can go to heaven simply on your mother's faith. You cannot. You must be born again. You must be. But faith is something that can be passed along. By example, by testimony, we can pass our faith along. And you know, even though I wasn't saved until I was 16 years of age, there was never a time in my life when I did not believe in God or in Jesus or in the Holy Spirit or that the Bible was the Word of God or in church. There was never a time when I did not believe in all those things, even though I was not saved until I was 16 years of age. But there was never a time. Why? I'll tell you why. Because of the unfeigned faith of my mother, who believed in all those things and who taught me that those things were real and true from the very beginning. I can remember as a child my mother telling me that Jesus was the Son of God. And I remember her saying, you know, there are people that don't believe that He is. But son, He is the Son of God. And you always believe that. You understand me? And I just sat there and, yes, ma'am, I've always believed that. I never doubted that the Bible was the Word of God. Never. Not one time. You know why? Because all through my childhood years, I can see my mother sitting at the table and reading out of that old Bible that she had. And I never doubted that it was the Word of God. She passed that faith along to me. Now, where did Timothy get his faith? Turn over to the third chapter for just a minute. Look at verse 14. Look at the third chapter in verse 14. He said, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Where did Timothy get his faith? Folks, he was taught from a child his faith. He got it from the Word of God. He got it from a godly grandmother and from a godly mother who took the time to train him as a child into the things of God. And I want to thank God for mothers this morning. And if you're here this morning and you have this kind of unfeigned faith, listen, my dear mother friend, listen to me. God is going to honor your faith. You cannot sit here and say, well, you know, I gave all these years to serving the Lord and, you know, my son is still not saved, or I gave all these years and my daughter is still not saved. Listen, just stay with it. Stay faithful. Stay honest. Stay sincere. Don't lose your faith. God will use your faith and it will be used to convict the hearts of those that are not yet in the faith. Thank God. Many of you are mothers of unfeigned faith. And I challenge you to stay with it. To the mothers, By what would you like your sons or your daughters, how would you like them to remember you? How would you like that? Would it be love? Would it be honor and purity? Or would it be your faith? That should make you examine your heart this morning. You see, Mother's Day is important. It reminds us of what we ought to be and where we ought to be. And I hope this morning that you'll examine your spiritual condition this morning. And just ask yourself, how do I want my children to remember me? Is it love? Is it honor and purity? Is it your faith? Is it your sacrificial love? Is it your honor and purity? Or is it your faith? To the sons and daughters that are here, how near or how far are you from what your mother desired you to be spiritually? Man, I wish for all I'm worth that my mother could be alive today to see this church. I just wish for everything that I have that my mom could see the church, the open door. Every time my dad comes up here, he is just absolutely astounded and amazed. He just sits and shakes his head. He just can't believe it. And I've told you this before, but every time my dad comes, for some strange reason, I don't know why it is, but it just never fails. Every time my dad comes, my dad should have been here today, $67,000 in the offering last week. But every time my dad comes, the offering is like $50,000, $60,000. And my dad just, he just sits there and goes, wow. Wow, we don't have that in a year. Wow. That's 1 week. I said, yeah, Dad, that's 1 week. Wow. That's amazing. And he just goes on and on and on. And I just wonder what in the, and by the way, thank you for that. We needed that. But thank God for faith. Thank God for faith. Thank God for mothers of faith. Thank God. I wish that my mother could be here. She would just be so proud. We'd have to enlarge the doors, get her head through the doors. I'm serious. You know how mothers are with their kids. And I just to the sons and daughters, let me ask you, how near or how far are you from what your mother desired you to be? I was reading recently, and I'll close with this, but I was reading recently, and I like to read Jewish stuff. I like to read what the rabbis say, and like to read all this. You know, it's heavy, hard reading, but I love to read that stuff and see the Jewish mind. And there's a beautiful legend, and that's all it is. It's a legend. Now, folks, look at me. This is a legend. There is no Bible for this whatsoever. It is a legend. The legend is, you remember when Peter was in jail? Herod had him thrown in jail. And they were all back at the house praying for him. And Peter's in jail. And he's going to be executed the next morning. You remember that? And all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, there's Peter. Now, he's going to be, did I mention to you he was going to be executed the next morning? And he knows he's going to be executed the next morning. I mean, my goodness, I knew I had to get up at 2:30 and I couldn't go to sleep last Tuesday night. And I just had to get up at 2:30 in the morning to catch an airplane. Well, I wasn't going to catch it. It wasn't moving, but to get on an airplane. But here's Peter sound asleep. And all of a sudden, an angel appears in the cell. You remember that? And Peter didn't even wake up when the angel came in the room. Didn't even wake him up. And the angel had to kick him to wake him up. Wake up! Legend has it that this angel was Peter's departed mother. That's Jewish legend. Now there's no Bible. Let me emphasize, there is no Bible to this. But it shows you, it embodies the truth that the memory of a good mother often takes a person by the hand and leads him out of the bondage and out of the darkness of unbelief and sin into the light and truth of salvation. Folks, listen. Moms, you have no idea the impact that you have upon your children. Now just stay with it. Don't get weary in well-doing. You just stay with it, and God will use your sacrificial love. God will use your honor and your purity, and God will use your faith. Bow your heads with me, please. Our Father, thank you so much for the blessings of motherhood. Lord, thank you. I want to thank you for the blessing that my mother was in my life. Lord, I pray that you will help us this morning to understand and to realize that, Lord, as a mother, we have a responsibility. And Lord, bless the mothers that are here today. Give them, I pray, that sacrificial heart. Give them, I pray, Lord, that faith, that unfeigned faith. Give them, I pray, that honor and that purity. And Lord, may you use that in the lives of their children and their families. And Father, we also realize that in these troubled times in which we live, we need all the help we can to salvage our children. And so, Father, help these mothers to be what they ought to be and use them for your glory. Father, we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name.